A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete!
Lose! I don't lose! I win! I win! I'm a lawyer! That's my job! That's what I do!
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Comedians at Law. This week we have the Matt and Matt Show. I'm Matt Ritter, and with me this week is Matt Storrs.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good to be back. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I am doing great. I don't think our listeners really want to hear too much about my Halloween, but this morning we just won a dog costume contest for something called Frenchyween because we have a French bulldog, so I'm very excited.
That's good. Yeah. What was the dog dressed as?
It was dressed as a corn dog. She was inside an ear of corn. You can look at my many Instagram and Facebook pictures if anyone really cares. I doubt any of our listeners care, but that's how excited I am right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know it's Halloween, so it's sort of our Halloween podcast.
Absolutely. It's a very spooky podcast this week, for sure.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be spooktacular. Will you be dressing
Absolutely.
Up?
Absolutely.
Will you be dressing up?
Oh, yeah. I'm dressed up as a hungover homeowner. That's what I'm dressed up as.
What does that look like?
Basically, dirty jeans and a lavender t-shirt that's very, very comfortable.
Did you buy the lavender, or do you own a lavender shirt?
Oh, I own a lavender colored shirt. Yes.
I think every man should own a lavender shirt.
Oh yeah, it's comforting, you know what I mean? You just see it and you just feel soothed.
I like when law firms have like Halloween stuff, you know, because sometimes the administrative staff go all out.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and it's always a good guarantee for like some sort of like awkwardness, you know what I mean? Like somebody's either going to do too much or just do something really inappropriate and just make everybody uncomfortable. But it's definitely fun.
That's what you hope for. That's the best case scenario.
Absolutely.
For sure. So what do we have on the agenda? We've got a couple big shows coming up we should tell you guys quickly about before we jump into the news. The big one is November 23rd, which is the Saturday night before Thanksgiving, in White Plains, the White Plains Performing Arts Center. We're doing a huge event there. I think the theater holds 400. So
yeah,
we're
it's
hoping,
gigantic.
Yeah, we're hoping to sell it out. I think we might.
Yeah, we're doing really well so far. So if you guys are in the area, you definitely want to get tickets soon.
Yeah, I'm actually heading home for that. So I will be on the – not that anyone really cares, I'm sure, but I'm going to be home for that. Just a little self-serving narcissism.
Yeah.
A healthy dose. Yeah.
Everybody needs it.
Yeah, so that's the big show. I think we should – should we jump into the news?
Yeah, let's jump into the news.
Let's dive right in.
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
Why don't you set up the first story for us?
Okay, so this week I saw an article about basically a recent law grad. I think she graduated in 2011. She lost custody of her kid because she had to take a job. She couldn't find a job where she was originally raising her child. So she took a job in another state and lost custody of her kid because of that, because she couldn't find a job anywhere like remotely close.
It's kind of crazy because first of all, she went to Cornell for law.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what's even more mind blowing is like she went to Cornell and like you would think even if she did poorly at Cornell, she would still get a job doing something. You know what I mean? And it's just it's absurd. You know what I mean?
There's a couple things that are a little tricky, I suppose.
Yeah.
One is that she got a job offer from a trial judge. So it sounds to me like she's – is it a clerkship or what?
It was fairly unspecific with that. And it's – yeah, like if it's a clerkship, like that's – that's good. You
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you got that clerkship, but then kind of like tough shit on you if you have to move for your clerkship. That's kind of like what I'm, my thoughts are, if it's really a clerkship, that's kind of a different than like a job, you know?
Right, absolutely.
Because clerkships, you have to take them wherever you can get them anywhere in the country.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you can't really like specify like, oh yeah, I don't really want to move. If you get it, you get it, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, so that's a separate issue, you know, because it's not totally clear, you know, about what this job search was. You know, here basically, let's tell exactly sort of how the custody battle happened. So they got divorced her third year of law school, and they had joint custody. And as part of the custody agreement, there was no relocating. Neither party could relocate.
Right.
Which I think is fair. You know, I have some family members that just sort of had an incident like this where one of them decided they wanted to move, you know, basically like 12 hours away.
Right.
And wanted to take the kid, and they had joint custody, and the judge said, no.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that because it's very difficult for the kid. How does, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You can't shuttle kids back and forth over a huge stretch of land.
Well, yeah, that's just a great way to like breed resentment in the kid. It's like, oh hey, like we're gonna go drive 12 hours to see your dad, and then you're gonna spend a weekend with him. Then you're gonna spend another 12 hours driving back.
Right, you and you're gonna do that every 2 weeks for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like nobody's gonna enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's very tricky. So then. Basically, the father had to give consent if the mother wanted to relocate,
right.
And he denied that consent. He didn't want to. He didn't want her to move to Tompkins, New Jersey, which is apparently 5 hours away. And then he cross-petitioned, objecting after she requested permission, and the family court originally let her temporarily relocate, but then after a fact-finding mission. They dismissed her application to relocate and granted sole custody to the father because she already moved.
Right.
So I think basically she's stuck between a rock and a hard place here. I don't really think there's a right or wrong. On the one hand, you know, you want the kid to have his mother near him. But on the other hand, it says that, she, you know, it's unclear if she even looked for a job in Ithaca.
Right. Right, absolutely. It's just like either way, it's just like if she goes back to the kid, it's like, oh, okay, you know, like she's a good mother and everything like that. But like, if she keeps her job, it's like, oh, you actually are employed after law school. You know what I mean?
Right, and also look, and there's certainly a case to be made that, you know, none of these decisions are permanent. So
right.
Maybe in a year she says, look, I'm the breadwinner, so give me my baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, it could pay off, like, quite well. You know, she gets, you know, she finishes out this job, this clerkship here or whatever, and then she ends up being, you know, making, like, 10 times what she...
Right, and we don't know what this guy does, but, you know, presumably
right.
If she ended up staying in Ithaca and working at McDonald's and then they had a custody dispute, you know, he'd probably win. But
right.
Then if she's a big-time, high-profile lawyer and this guy is some schlub who works at Walmart... She's probably in good shape.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's you know, you might lose out a couple years on the kid, you know, raising the kid, but, you know, you end up, you know, getting him, you know, in his teenage years or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you know what I find interesting, man? There used to be this presumption that the best interest of the child was always with the mother. We've really come full circle here.
Yeah. That's what's really interesting. Usually when you hear a case like this, it's always just like predisposed, like, oh, kid's going to go with the mom, kid's going to go with the mom. But this is really, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, the other side of it being like, hey, you know, like, because like objectively, this mom is doing everything right. Hypothetically,
yeah. And listen, objectively, maybe this sounds anti-dads, but moms are the better parent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like. I mean, dads are predisposed to go into, like, the bad cop role, so to speak.
Yeah,
and you know,
dads are
disciplinarian.
Dads, I don't know. You know, I think there is a maternal instinct. I don't think, like, I think, you know, mothers are predisposed towards protecting their children. And I don't know. You know, there's something inherent about that. But, you know, we live in such a modern world where I think we, in some ways, deny some of these sort of, you know, instinctual things. But...
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe that's just my opinion, one man's foolish opinion. But I would say that, you know, if you were being 100% objective in these cases, I feel like you should just give the mom like a 51-49% edge to start.
Right.
And then the dad has to prove he's just a little better.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of thinking of it. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, like if my parents had gotten divorced, my parents got divorced as a grown-up, but if my parents had gotten divorced as a kid, like, it would have been a pretty easy call. They would have been like, so we're going to give you to your mom because your dad is not around a lot. He's not really there much. He's not really involved. He's never cooked you dinner once.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to use a stove.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to use it. It's going to be – you're going to eat a lot of microwave meals if we keep you with dad. But, you know, it would be interesting if they gave us some more facts on his dad.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you know, you can present something that's, you know, really, you know, very one-sided, saying, oh, this mom is, you know, inconsiderate to her kid, it's absurd, what all this, but...
What they didn't consider, though, too, I don't know, maybe they do consider this, maybe they don't, but Ithaca's kind of crappy. I don't know. I mean, I went to school up there. Eh.
Yeah.
I mean, Tompkins, New Jersey, I think Jersey's better than Ithaca. That's my personal, just another opinion of mine. If I were a judge, I'd be factoring that in. I'd be like, Ithaca, it's really crappy for a kid in the middle of the winter. It's freezing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
It's not fun. Yeah, it's kind of dumpy. But nice in fall. There's nice fall foliage, if that ever factored into the court's decisions.
Yeah, the kid can come visit in fall and everything will be fine.
You know what I thought was scary is that, you know, in this article it was talking about the actual percentage of people who have jobs from the class of 2012. It's less than half.
Yeah, less than half. That's insane. That's
You're one of the precious few.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, I got the, you know, passed the bar and you know, got a job, but yeah,
Did we officially congratulate you on the podcast?
I don't recall. All right, well, I'm always happy to get more congratulations.
No, it's too late. It's too late now. You had your chance. You had your chance. Should we move on to the next story?
Yeah, why not? Let's see. We have another article this week. Basically, there was a family law attorney. He was a divorce attorney. He died, and he banned his partners from his home from coming to his funeral. And like, this is a pretty big, high profile guy. He handled the divorces of like James Gandolfini, Dustin Hoffman, Robert Duvall, and I just think that's just like the most like audacious thing you could possibly do. Just, I hate you guys so much, you're not even allowed to come to my funeral.
Well, first of all, presumably those people hate him too, right? It's a little presumptuous.
I would hope.
If you have that much acrimony towards somebody, there's a good chance that they don't feel very strongly a positive way about you.
Yeah, I doubt it's a situation where they were like, you know, baking him cookies every week and delivering them to him, and they're like, whoa, they're just shocked.
Yeah,
that they're not allowed to come.
Yeah, like, oh, should we try and get this petition overturned?
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is that I actually met James Gandolfini's divorce attorney when I went at Penn Law. He taught a class there called Anatomy of a Divorce.
Mm.
And he had James Gandolfini come into the court. So I guess this guy was the opposing counsel on that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. You know, this reminded me of the Supreme Court. I don't know if you are familiar with the justice, I think it was the early 1900s, Justice McReynolds.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crotchety old man, racist, anti-Semitic. When they would do photos with, I think there was Louis B. Brandeis, they would do every year, they would do the photo of the nine justices. He would not show up. He refused to show. And I think he refused to allow, there were a bunch of black clerks, and I think he refused to allow them anywhere near his chambers, and nobody showed up to his funeral.
That's not surprising.
Not one person from the court. But then there was a black clerk who was one of the clerks for the other justices, and like half the court showed up for his.
That's, oh man, that person is understandably non-redeemable.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, anytime your will talks about who can and cannot show up at your funeral, you've burned a few bridges in this world.
Yeah, quite a few, I would say. That, like, the fact that you're even considering having a provision of your will that does something like that, you have a sordid history of burning bridges.
You know what I thought of that would be cool, though? And this is just something that I might do when I die. I might just try and screw over some people and make them look bad, like, and say, make up a reason for why they can't come to my funeral.
Absolutely. Yeah, that could be good.
Or just keep it cryptic, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. The mystery aspect would be good.
Yeah. 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 Just be like, oh, and my third grade teacher can't come. You know why. You know why. You know, or like my uncle can't come. He knows why. Well, he would probably be dead by then, hopefully, I would think.
Yeah, most
is there anyone you would ban from your funeral right now?
No. I mean, I can't say that I would ban anybody. I don't really think that I would care at that point, you know what I mean? If you want to come enjoy my funeral, I guess. You know what I mean?
I don't mind if they come to the funeral, but for me, I wouldn't want them coming to my shiva call, which is a Jewish tradition where they serve a lot of good spread, like lox and egg salad and stuff. I wouldn't want somebody I hate enjoying some really tasty lox.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, that aspect of it. I don't want to... Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
There will be a doorman at my shiva call.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he'll have a clipboard and a list, and you might have to try and grease him to get in. You know, there's going to be good whitefish.
Oh, excellent.
It will be in my will that there's a specific, you know, there's only specific places you can get my whitefish from or my lox.
Oh, yeah, you have to make sure it's premium quality.
Yeah, like Cantor's Deli is a famous deli here in L.A. That's where they will be serving my... So if anybody wants to get into my shiva call, you know, there's going to be some good stuff there, good spread, but you got to treat me well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a good way to facilitate good relationships for the rest of your life, I think. You know what I mean? So they'll just, it's like, hey, you know, he was mean to us this past week. He was inconsiderate, but we really want to get in once he dies.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the good spread. He's got the good spread. Yeah. This guy, but the picture that they took of this guy for the article, he looks like somebody who would have people banned from his funeral.
Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely looks like he would ban people from a funeral.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, like, the weird thing is, right, like, you ban them, you would need a security team or something. I mean, that's the weird thing. Who's gonna uphold this ban?
Yeah, and I mean, who sneaks into a funeral, too? You know what I mean? Like, are you really gonna go in and, you know, try break through the security and just, you know, sit in a pew and look at a casket?
I feel like you see that in the movies sometimes, right? At the outdoor part of the funeral, right? Where somebody shows up that either had something to do with that person's death or was a mortal enemy, and then the wife goes, "You have some nerve showing up here," and then she slaps him.
Yeah, then that just makes for a memorable funeral.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of funny, right? Like, are these guys funeral crashers? Like, is it like Will Ferrell and his buddies?
Absolutely.
Let's move on to the next story here.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to introduce this one, or you want me to take it?
You know, you're on a roll right now. I feel like you're feeling good.
I am feeling good. Okay, so this next one, it seems like the offices of Clifford Chance sent out a memo with tips about how women should present themselves in the office. And it turns out that it was slightly sexist, just very slightly, slightly sexist.
I just want to cut you off right there. It was written by a woman, right? I mean, the memo...
Right. That's the thing. Like, it was, from my understanding, it was a compilation of various tips from women in the office to public speaking and appearance to, you know, seem presentable for the office space, you know, court, you know, just generally. But taken out of context and just looked at objectively, it comes off really, really bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because, first of all, we'll let you get into some of this stuff, but if you've made it to big law as an associate, you presumably know how to handle yourself somewhat.
Right. You would think, you would think that they would, you know, say, you know, maybe speak to one individual. Like maybe, you know, they had a hard time. Maybe they, you know, didn't, you know, use their lint roller on their, you know, their suit. Okay, hey, you know, you want to use your lint roller on your suit. You know, take care of yourself. Not, oh, hey, we're going to send this whole thing to the whole office that's gigantic with tons of people. And now we're shocked that it gets out and we look bad. You know, that's just not a, you know, that's not a lot of foresight. But a couple of these made me laugh. Let's see. For instance, one is use a relaxed, open throat, breathe from the abdomen, and keep your mouth open.
I find that to be the best way of public speaking.
Yeah, typically that will be lead to a benefit for sure.
Yeah, and you know, look, you have, I guess, at certain law firms, men and women that sound annoying and have horrible sounds coming out of their voices. You can't. Yeah. That's undeniable. Just at a big 500 person firm, there's going to be male and female associates and partners that you just wish never spoke.
Yeah, that guttural sound.
Yeah, they make, you know, they just make, you know, ungodly noises from their mouth holes. And you know, maybe training them, that might be a move. You know, giving them vocal lessons.
Absolutely, that seems reasonable. That
I like
seems
the cleavage.
Good.
I like the cleavage based rules.
Yeah, the cleavage based ones are good. The no one heard Hillary the day she showed cleavage.
I find myself, and maybe this is because I'm a low life. I find that I pay the most attention when there's more cleavage present.
That's completely understandable.
It's different for everybody, you know, but I find that gets me at attention. I'm standing at attention that day.
I think a lot of people are standing at attention when they see cleavage.
If you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
If wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I mean, look, what are we? Is this Sharia law? I mean, women can dress however they want in the workplace. I think I've yet to see, you know, too many really tawdry dresses at big law firms, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's women's fashion is so broad and in terms of the spectrum that you can cover. And they have so many options that, you know, maybe something is a little bit risque overall, but it's still like that's what's in trend right now. So they, you know, they're keeping up with the trends and that's appropriate for the fashion world or whatever. Right. But, you know, to say like, oh, you can't, you know, to have these somewhat arbitrary rules of saying like, hey, let's keep it back. I think it goes a little too far.
Yeah, I mean, I find it offensive as a man that they didn't have any sort of gender neutral ones, because I feel like leaving out guys who wear tight nut smuggling pants is mm-hmm. offensive.
Absolutely, and that's the trend in males fashion right now, is the slim cut pant. You know what I mean? It basically just leads to, you know, dudes having moose knuckles walking around.
Yeah, if I can see your junk, I don't want to close a deal with you.
Absolutely. It's a non-starter.
I'm not going to shake your hand if I can literally see the outline of your stuff on your pantsuit, on your pants leg.
Absolutely.
But, you know, what's crazy is, you know, how do you send out a memo and not expect this to be making news?
Absolutely. It's going to get around no matter what. Like some of these, like they just even the ones we've just mentioned, they out of context, and like out of context of the whole email, even in context, they're offensive. It's just you can't imagine having something like that and then it not offending somebody.
Yeah. They should just fire their HR person or whoever, you know, I mean, somebody's got to go.
Right, absolutely. Or at least, like, just don't send it to the whole office. You know what I mean? Just have it like a handout. Like,
no, not even. You shouldn't even have anything other. Just have it verbal.
Oh, that's probably smarter. Yeah, probably verbal.
In room, verbal. Like, wasn't there in the olden days a Miss Somebody's Rules of Women's Etiquette or something? And she would walk around and fix you up.
Yeah, I don't know who. I don't
know
the name of it.
About.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that if you're going to do something like that, you just have to have a woman who walks around and straightens everybody out, men and women.
Yeah, the office keeper, so to speak. It'll be good.
Yeah. You know, I think while we're on this podcast right now, we should address the silly controversy regarding a gig that we were supposed to do for this. I wrote a blog about it. I don't know if any of our listeners were paying attention to the blog. I wrote about a series of charity gigs that we didn't end up getting because we talked about cannibalism on our podcast recently. I say recently, I mean over a year ago.
Wow, they went that far back to check that out?
Yeah, absurd. So I just want to say to all our listeners, if you're going to book us for a show, I only want to say this once, if you're going to book us for a live show, we do 100% clean corporate comedy. We do it all over the country. We have had plenty of great shows. We don't have any negative feedback about, you know, us crossing any sort of lines ever. But occasionally we might on this podcast. We try to keep it pretty PG-13, but we might let slip an expletive every couple weeks or say something, you know, slightly creepy. And if so, if we offend, you know, I'll apologize. I don't really mean my apology, but the point is I want to distinguish that from what we do live show. This is sort of for us to have fun and sort of focus what's going on in the news. Sometimes the news can be a little more risque, so we will sort of correlate our discussion of it with what it is. You know what I mean? If it's
absolutely
a discussion of a Zumba prostitute, you can assume I'm going to make some sex jokes about prostitutes.
Absolutely. That's just the nature of the news.
But, you know, sometimes people are dumb, and they can't distinguish those two. And another thing that kind of tweaked me was that this group, we offered to basically do it for free, and that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted us to lose money traveling. But they also asked if we could put up one of their buddies on the show, and then they proceeded to send me. I said, oh, is he a comedian? They said, well, yeah, here's him doing comedy, and it was a wedding toast.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, what we do is a little bit different from a wedding toast, but thank you very much.
Yeah, it's slightly different. It's a little bit more involved than a wedding toast.
It was just really, you know, look, we were happy to do all gigs on all budgets, and we're pretty good about working with you, putting your silly friends who don't even know how to do comedy on our shows if that's what you want, jump through hoops for you, help you find a venue, but then don't come to us and say, hey, we're not going to end up going forward with you on these series of charity gigs because over a year ago, we didn't like some of the content on this podcast about cannibalism. You guys were joking around about cannibalism. That's not funny. It's like, did somebody eat your dad? What happened here?
Yeah, were you in the Donner Party? Like, you descended to the Donner Party?
I think that's what it was. I think this person who booked it, I don't say the name of the group, you know, because I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm sure if they were listening, they knew who they are, and they probably feel pretty dumb right now.
Mm.
But that's just the way it goes. But you know what? Look, on the flip side, we've got a lot of other non-dumb listeners who have been booking us for a lot of good shows, so we thank you for that. And
absolutely,
we're always happy to make it work for you guys within reason.
Absolutely, within reason.
And we have a great interview coming up with Stephanie Haney, who is an attorney turned model and actress and television host. But before we do that, let's hit the Twitter and do a little segment we call Good Cop, Bad Cop.
Look, I'm really sorry about that. I just, I saw how aggressive you were being, and I thought, wow, I gotta go even bigger than that since we're doing Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
What? No, I said Good Cop, Bad Cop. I'm the bad cop, you're the good cop.
Okay, then there it is. That's it. I thought you said bad cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop, absolutely. This week's going to be a little bit of fun, I think. I think we got some interesting new followers.
Oh,
so
we did? Okay, I didn't know that. I'll do you want to be the good cop or the bad cop?
I'm predisposed to good copping.
Okay,
so
there you go. I'm predisposed to bad copping. So let's have at it.
Let's do it. Okay, so let's see. We have John O'Dowd follow us this week. We had All Nude MA follow us. The San Jose Improv started following us. That's pretty awesome. Pretty excited about that. Kemi McLaren, Henry Fargi, Anna Jackson, Ahani Rico, Caleb. I'm very excited about Caleb. He's very, very on top of his stuff.
Is that a friend of yours?
No, I have no idea. His name is just Caleb.
Oh, is that
a he's a law student. He's a American Bar Association rep, aspiring advocate. I'm excited. He has a good little photo of him sitting at a desk.
He looks like our core fan. He does look like our core fan.
Yeah, he's one of those. So we're excited about that. Let's see, who is this? This is Tafiki Poyo. Christina Latimer. And then this is my favorite one of the week, Bad Boys Bail Bonds.
Do you think that they're following us because they think that we will end up needing their services?
There's probably a chance of that, actually.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you got to diversify and find clients wherever you can. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Like Midnight Run, you know? Midnight Run.
Absolutely.
Serrano's got the disc! Serrano's got the disc!
Absolutely. Oh, man. I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's classic. Who else Absolutely. We got?
Let's see. We have a Funny He? Funny He? Or Fun He. Fun He, which may or may not be a fake account. And that's I believe, all that all of the new followers.
No, I see a few more. I see Amy Eustace.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay,
I see
down
Marie,
there.
Mary Enright, Marie Enright, and mm-hmm. John Sugru, or Sugru, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nobody really tweeted at, we have Anahi Rokio followed us, mm-hmm. But nobody really used the hashtag. Did you get all these other people? You got Anna Jackson and Cammy McLaren? Yeah, you got all them.
Yeah, I got those. Yeah.
We had Debash retweet us, which was nice. It's always good to get a little retweet. But again, look, if you guys don't want free t-shirts, then don't use the hashtag CALpod. And if you do want t-shirts, use the hashtag. Oh, the UCD Law School said thanks for the follow, but then didn't follow back. So that's a little confusing. I'm gonna say, listen, UCD, I know you're in Dublin. I don't know if you have radio in Dublin or podcast. I think you might. I'm not sure what goes on in Dublin. You have a very nice-looking building. We want to come perform in Dublin, okay? I want to get my Irish material, my Irish accent.
Irish accent.
We must kill the English. William Wallace is 7 feet tall. give me your best Irish. Come on, give me your best Irish.
I can't wait to be in Ireland and talk about the Irish and do vlog. I don't know. I have no idea. I haven't done an Irish accent in way too long.
I don't even know if they have laws in. I didn't know they had laws in Ireland. I thought it was a lawless society. I don't know what that is. That's horrible. Sorry, I apologize, UCD, for that terrible attempt. But if you book us, we'll put on a better accent. So that wraps it up. We're about to do a really great interview with Stephanie Haney. So stay tuned for that. She's going to tell us about the Playboy Mansion, which she's been to. And as a regular there, so how do we get into that action? How does the comedian's law get into the Playboy Mansion? How does a lawyer get into the Playboy Mansion? We're going to find out coming up.
Good deal. I'm excited.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Comedians at Law podcast. We have a very special guest today. She is a lawyer. She's also a television host and model, and she's going to be co-starring on a new show on E! Called The Drama Queen, I believe, and that premieres November 10th at 10 p.m. on E! Welcome to the podcast, Stephanie Haney.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you are a model and a host, but also a lawyer. We haven't had that yet on the podcast. That usually we have very unattractive lawyers on our podcast. Did you find?
I'm happy.
Did you find law school to be a very unattractive place?
Well, there are lots of things about law school that are unattractive. Not necessarily the people, but that being said, people don't really dress it up for law school too much.
It's a very unsexy environment, I would say.
That is the perfect word for law school, yeah. Unsexy, yeah. Yes.
Where did you go?
I started at The Ohio State University, and I finished at University of North Carolina at Chapel.
Nice. And so did you practice at all? Are you practicing?
I am not currently practicing, no, but I am licensed in California.
And did you have a plan when you went to law school? Were you like, okay, I'm going to give this, you know, I want to be a lawyer, or I just went to law school because I didn't know what I wanted to do kind of thing? Or how did that, what was the plan?
Well, the plan was always for me to go to law school. Yeah. I really was into, you know, student Congress and domestic extemporaneous speaking and all of that in high school. So I had planned to go to undergrad and then go to law school. So it just kind of happened. I just followed the plan. I wanted to do criminal law. So that's why I went to law school. I planned on practicing criminal law.
Do you, and now you're out here, you know, you're doing the modeling and TV hosting. Do you find, you know, people always ask me this, they go, do you find that your law degree helps you in any way?
I mean, I think it's definitely beneficial to have a law degree, especially because California, pretty blonde girls are a dime a dozen. So for me to be able to tell someone that I'm a lawyer, it just kind of impresses them with a little bit of my ability for professionalism, I think. So I definitely think it's beneficial.
Yeah, they take you a lot more seriously, right?
Definitely, yes, much more seriously.
Do you have a lot of, like, model friends or people in the host world? Like, I get this a lot in the entertainment world. Do they just, like, will ask you random legal questions?
Yes, I get so many random legal questions or just random things about everything. Like, I have a friend right now that's asking me to look up some disability law for him, and I'm like, well, just give me a few days because, you know, I just don't know.
Yeah, I think there's something funny about that. I think people who aren't lawyers just think that people in law school know everything about every area of the law, basically.
Definitely. That is a huge misconception that lawyers know the entire body of law of everything.
Have you ever met any other – you're the only one that I've heard of or met. Have you ever met any other people in the modeling or hosting world that are attorneys? Have you met other people that have done what you've done?
Well, working with Marky Costello at her hosting academy, I'm the academy coordinator. That's one of the things I do there.
Yeah, I am. I should tell our listeners, I am in the class, and it's really great. So for any lawyers who want to brush up on their hosting skills, it's a fantastic place.
Yeah, and a quick plug for Marky, actually. She's doing a public speaking class, too, in early 2014, so that'll be kind of like more general for people that just need to speak well in public.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's important. You know, I think actually I'm learning a lot in this hosting class. I think it's especially for somebody who, you know, might be a litigator. And I think, you know, there's definitely like a huge sort of – there's this mantra, host, you know, connecting with your audience. I think that's a big part of what successful big-time courtroom litigators do.
Totally. It's all about selling it to the jury. 100%.
Yeah. Tell us about the show, Marky's new show that you're going to be on.
So Marky Costello runs a talent management company for hosts, and she's now expanding to other areas in the entertainment industry as well. It's called Creative Management Entertainment Group, CMEG. And I work with her in the office. So she's got a new show coming out, and it's all about everything she does, everything in the hosting world and her personal life and our personal lives, the staff, and all of the crazy drama that ensues, because Marky is a huge personality and everyone on her staff is a huge personality. So,
do you guys all get along?
Ugh, no. We do not all get along. Definitely not. Capital N.
So is it going to be like a lot of yelling and screaming?
There is definitely some yelling and screaming. There's a lot of loudness.
Do you get yelled at or yell at others?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
So I watched some of your YouTube clips. One of them was you outside of the Playboy Mansion, A Dream of Mine. And I bet you there's not many of the people who've listened to our podcast that have ever set foot inside of the Playboy Mansion. Can you tell us what it's like there?
The Playboy Mansion is awesome. I love Hef. He is the sweetest man. He's just so kind and generous and welcoming. And, you know, his wife, Crystal Hefner, is a good friend of mine, as well as Chaya Hefner, her sister-in-law and brother's wife. So I hang out there on the weekend. It's basically like the coolest backyard party you can go to. So chill, bar, great food, movies. It's awesome.
So how does a random lawyer sneak his way into the Playboy Mansion?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there's really a way to sneak into the Playboy Mansion. Security's pretty tight over there.
Security's pretty. How do you get to be? Have you ever thought, like, oh, maybe I want to be Hef's lawyer? What is it? What are his lawyers like? Have you met them?
You know, I think I have met a few Hef lawyers. They're old men. Hef is comfortable with his peer group, so he's got a lot of older male lawyers.
Oh, man, I pictured him with, like, you know, hot, sexy female lawyers. I don't know.
You know, I'm trying to get on retainer. It just hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, that's, I guess that kind of broke the dream. Is it, you know, everybody always talks about there's like a famous grotto or whatever. It's like, is it visually as cool as I'm picturing in my head?
It is. I mean, the grotto is crazy. At any given moment when you're there, there's somebody naked in the grotto, always.
Always?
Always. Always someone naked in the grotto.
Is it like random people, or are there just like official people who are there to like kind of just be naked and hanging out?
The official naked team? No, there's no official naked team. It's just kind of like whoever feels like the naked usually winds up in the grotto.
Very, very, very interesting. And what are your what is your plan? For your career, are you trying to incorporate the law in any way, or because I see some of your videos, you know, you did a couple of legal ones. Are you trying to incorporate that into sort of your brand?
I am. You know, I'm kind of in the process of rebranding right now, actually, and focusing a little bit less on the modeling, even though I'm still doing some modeling, and just more on hosting. And one of my goals is to be, you know, I would love to be the female interviewer, and having a legal background, of course, is not a bad idea or something like that.
Yeah. I saw that there was a new Star Jones, I think, has a new law panel show, I think I saw.
Oh, really? I've not heard about that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So maybe you might want to try to jump on Star Jones's legal panel, esteemed legal panel.
Maybe so. Maybe I'll have to try and get in there.
Yeah. I didn't really have too many other questions. We like to keep the interviews nice and tight, but I would like to let you plug your own site or wherever people can find you.
Yes, you can find me at stephiehaney.com, and I have links to all my other platforms. My Facebook page is facebook.com/thestephiehaney. And you can see me on E! Premiering November 10th at 10 p.m. on Queen. So please watch.
Well, I am obviously going to tune in because I'm in the class, and I love Marky and I love you guys there. So I'm big fans of yours. So I'm happy to promote it to our Comedians at Law fans. And thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.